Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to episode 355 of the Anfield Index podcast. I'm Trev Denny, podcasting to you from my field here in beautiful rural Ireland, and I'm joined for this episode by Lisa Marie Hanahan, by Cam Branch. Lisa Marie, how are you doing? It's been a short week since we turned around the last one on Sunday, but no doubt we'll find things to talk about. What have you got for us just to begin the show today?
First of all, I would like to say I'm happy to be here on episode 354 of the Anfield Index podcast. Oops. Not 55.
Crap. I'm so confident. I was so
You didn't even have
to ask it before we started, Trevor.
I can breeze through this. I thought, I've got this. I guess not.
Well, wow. Thank you. I thought that was just a little gift for me because, as some know, this was my birthday week. Yesterday, the 26th of January, was not only my birthday, but my 50th birthday.
Woo!
Yeah.
Excellent work. Well done.
Excellent. Yes. So,
I believe it.
I'm a little bit in denial that, you know, I've, you know, ticked over to a new decade, but it'll be okay. But here's a few other things that are turning 50 this year.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. So,
please don't say me. Don't share the fact that I've just shared it. Anyway.
there was Trevor a bit Downey of self-promotion, wasn't there? Year.
Also, the movie The Exorcist.
Oh, yes.
American Graffiti.
1973, what a great year.
In 1973, Godfather won Best Picture.
Yes, it did.
The Watergate hearings started in 1973.
Tremendous crack.
The World Trade Center opened.
It did.
Elton John's album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Wow, okay. That's good. Didn't know that.
And Magnetic Resonance Imaging. That is MRI, became a thing. Yes.
MRI became a thing in 1973. I did not know that.
Yes. So as someone who has purchased and installed MRIs, I mean, not me personally, but, you know, overseen it happening. I didn't think it was quite that old, but I mean, I knew it was the 70s, but I didn't realize it was also 73. So it's been kind of a weird, I feel like, because we had friends over for, like, my annual birthday dinner on Saturday, which, yes, was before my birthday. But this weekend, my daughter has her first dance competition that she is going to be able to participate in. Thank you. And then, of course, in 4 days, I will, God willing, be winging my way across the Atlantic to visit beautiful Ireland. So, yeah, lots of things. It's been overall a pretty good week.
That's tremendous, and obviously for myself and Cam, the very, very happiest of birthday years ahead. I hope you have a great one. And to speak outside of school a little bit, we were just talking about how in your Instagram post there you do look around about 6.5, fair play to you, and not a patch on your
don't look like the mother of a 20-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 13-year-old.
No, you do not.
That's because I cover the gray hairs. I will confess to doing that.
I can't do
the wrinkles and the dark circles don't necessarily bother me, but I'm not ready to accept the gray hair.
Draw the line.
And there's not a lot, but I do cover up what there is. I will confess on that one.
It's good. I get that. Draw the line. And actually, interesting, the MRI thing as well, for a lad who's had so many of them. And in a week where my freaking migraines came back, if you've been following Anfield Index for a while, and even back before that when I was forced to leave my original podcast with my Irish pals in the Day Trippers many, many years ago, back in 2013-14, that was the reason I had to go, because of very, very dangerous recurring migraines, which are doing a bit of damage to me. And that's interesting, because MRIs have been a feature of my life and had gone away for several years until last Tuesday evening, the bastards. So I've been a little bit out of the loop. So you'll forgive me if I'm not on top of recent events as much as I could be. But then again, to make me look a little bit better in terms of not being on top of recent events, we do have Mr. Cam Branch.
Hey. Nice segue.
Who is willfully never on top of current events. God bless him. And I admire him for it. Cam, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Lisa Marie, happy birthday. Made me go onto social media, didn't you, you buggers? And and check that. And funnily enough, I opened Instagram and it was the first post. What were the odds? So I didn't have to go far to find it. So yeah, happy birthday, Lisa Marie. 50 is a great year. It's a great age. I won't tell you how I felt when I got to 50, but I don't want to depress you. So, that's something else I was going to say, but it's completely slipped my mind now, because we had a good ramble before this show, didn't we? So we had
a 20-minute ramble.
Yeah,
yes.
It was. Yes, yeah, we got told off a couple of times, Trev. So I wonder who that was. Yeah.
Hey, stop lying. Oh.
Sorry.
There it goes again. So
I better do my quote, aren't I?
Yeah, you got something to start us off with. Let's go.
Yeah. Right. I expect you to get this one, Trevinder. No problem. So
it's not the Bruce Springsteen, or not Bruce Springsteen, that he covered it. Oh God, I can't think of the original. It's not the song lyrics.
It's not to do with the song. No, okay. I'm not going to start doing a rendition of that. But I just thought that was quite funny, considering what we discussing earlier. So anyway, the quote is, football has nothing to do with fair play. It is bound up with hatred, jealousy, boastfulness, disregard of all rules, and sadistic pleasure in witnessing violence. In other words, it's a war minus the shooting.
I mean, that's a fantastic quote, and I feel bad that I don't know who it is.
Screaming right now, Kopak is.
Is he?
Oh, I'm telling you.
Because
Kopak will know who this is. And he's shouting at you, Trevor, and he's laughing at you.
Go on then, put us out of our misery.
George Orwell.
Oh.
Ah, that's why it's familiar. It's from one of the essays. Okay, that's good. Fucking hell, George, he was a miserable bastard, wasn't he? He was such a miserable bastard. It's funny you should mention that. And you've done me a real, real service here, because as I was saying to you in our extended ramble, headaches and elongated time to think are probably not the best of things in combination. I have found myself very disillusioned. I do, obviously. I try to talk to my students, and I teach 1984 anytime it's available on the course, just so fellas can get an idea of what the world's really like. I made the mistake of reading Brave New World again there recently. You just look at the news, you look at the media, and just it just feels horrendous to me all
Child
the time.
Child number two is currently reading Brave New World in school.
Well, I mean, be prepared for his wee head to be blown off because
actually, he's like, I can't believe they're allowing us to read this.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, so 1984 and then Brave New World's what happens next, honestly. Mm-hmm. It feels like we've gone through one and here we go with the other, and it's all the same kind of horrible notions at the heart of it. But if you flick it on your TV, you wouldn't have a clue, because it's either you should be supporting that horrible Tory lad over there, or that horrible Keir Starmer lad over there, or in my country, the two parties who are always hideously opposed to each other and are big pals and sharing power together. And it's all such a joke. It's all uni-party bullshit and nobody ever wants to talk about it. And I stand beside people at work and I listen to them debate politics in inverted commas, and I think, oh my God, can we just cut through all of that? So there's nobody better at doing that than a fellow who I've played before. There's about 3 minutes of this, and I don't make a single apology for playing all 3 minutes of it. As I said, you've heard him before if you've been a devoted follower of this show. It is Mr. George Carlin, and it's his famous piece about the big club.
But there's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers, people who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back, so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later, because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I mean, wow. Every time I hear that, I just think everybody needs to hear that more. And I love it because it gives us a little bit of a segue with George's reference to owners to talk a little bit about some of the Liverpool stuff that's been in the media. And we probably should. We should probably start there, but fear not, gentle listener, we're not going to flog that particular horse to death. We kind of talked it through last week, and I don't like repeating myself, and I know neither of my podcast pals here do either. So we're not going to just go over the same old thing, because if you want that, just log on to your Twitter, and you'll find yourself taking sides and getting entrenched in the most pointless debate I've ever seen in my life about a thing that hasn't happened yet. So the only thing we can talk about when it comes to the owners is the fact that they have been quite inactive while a lot of our rivals have been doing the exact opposite. That's going to be an interesting chit chat for us to have, because it gives us an opportunity to talk about some other clubs and stuff that's going on there. We might have a look briefly at the FA Cup, what we want to do there. We got interest in that after the last round, et cetera, et cetera, considering the opposition, all those type of things. And we might just have a quick look forward as well. But basically, we're going to take a look around at what other people are doing, and we'll use that to sort of frame up whatever we decide to talk about with the owners. We should probably refer a little bit at some point as well to the statement that came out from Spirit of Shankly, the fan union, that were talking about their expectations around ownership of the club. That, of course, has been incredibly fractious and interpreted in various ways as well, because, of course, what else would we expect? But I want to just start the general chat with the concept of maybe just deflecting from Liverpool for a second and having a look around. Where better to start than with the Ev? And Cam, I mean, I'm going to start with you, because a friend of the show, Sean Dyche, appears to be back in the mix at Everton. It looks like he's the chosen one. I haven't seen an official statement yet, but I've seen umpteen articles which basically suggest that yes, he has been the one that was chosen. It was him and Bielsa that were in the running. It's remarkable for me that Everton can still attract, you know, comparative names, considering where they are. But they still do have that ability, it would appear. And Bielsa, apparently, I think the sticking point was he wanted to bring about 7,000 staff with him, and that just didn't fly with Everton. And so Dyche was the next man up. What's your feeling around that appointment? Do you think he's the man to get them off the floor there and stay in the Premiership? Or do you think, as a lot of people do, do you think it's probably an appointment with a view to possibly having to jump out of the Championship at the first available opportunity?
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
No, I think if they do appoint him, I think they've made a fantastic appointment. I think you've got to respect Sean Dyche's achievements at Burnley. They were incredibly difficult team with no resources to play against, and you know his record at Burnley for many seasons, he excelled there, I believe. I've got nothing but admiration for what he did at Burnley, and I think Dev have actually made a really good appointment, if that's the case, in Sean Dyche. I think they have spent money, you know, whether we, you know, they've actually outspent Liverpool over the last 10 years. And just imagine if Sean Dyche was able to, you know, but, well, it'll be interesting to see what he does if he does have transfer funds, and whether he can actually improve that team, or whether he can turn around that group of players. You know, they've got a few decent players in that team. They're not exactly, you know, their league position isn't, I think, reflective of the squad they may have, because if you look previously, the squad hasn't changed that much over the last couple of years, but, you know, but they've always been a good solid mid-table outfit. Now with Dyche there, yeah, I mean, we know why they're down the bottom, because the manager before was rubbish. His record was worse than, I think, Roy Hodgson's at Liverpool. And how bad can you be to have a record worse than Roy Hodgson at Liverpool? Well, Fat Frank, well done. Congratulations. But Dyche, I'm actually upset by it, because I think Dyche will keep them up. I really want it, the football fan in me wanted Everton to go down, but I didn't want Everton to go down as well, because the Merseyside derby is special. And I don't want to, because I think if Everton had gone down, they may have struggled to come back up again for a long time. So yeah, fair dues to them, I think.
There's a lot, Lisa Marie, on the Twitter today, where Reds are having a lot of fun with this. Sean apparently was a Liverpool fan as a kid, which is, you know, only Everton could pick a lad like that, having picked Rafa previously. You know, that's tremendous fun, and we will knock a lot of crack out of that, no doubt, as time goes on. There's also talk about how, and again, because it's Everton, there's all sorts of stories going around about how he's been definitely going to be given money for at least three signings. But then, as we discussed before the show, they also have the specter of their, you know, great superstar, young local talent on the move to Newcastle, in the form of Anthony Gordon. So they've really Evertoned this in a way that I mean, I don't have any ill will necessarily in that bad way. And they're tremendously entertaining, and I would rather they were in the Premier League and we could continue the rivalry. I don't have that, like, you know, real dark hatred of Everton that some people do, at all. And I've always been quite fond of Sean Dyche as well, just as a character, if not necessarily as a manager or a fella all the time. They've also been having great crack with a little clip where he appears to mildly stand up to Jurgen Klopp in a tunnel discussion, but then basically runs away, and it's being dressed up as Sean really, you know, stuck it to Jurgen. But the clip ends with Jurgen running after him down the tunnel. So I don't know what to make of all of this. What's been your take on it? It seems to be mired in comedy is basically where I'm going with this.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Yeah, I mean,
there is. Sorry, I put too much on the table.
No, you're fine. Well, I mean, in general, not so much what you were setting up, but. Okay, so when a day or two ago you were hearing Bielsa for the Everton job, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's not going to work. And then I think it was yesterday or so that Sean Dyche's name started getting linked. And I'm like, if they had tried to find two completely different approaches, I mean, they couldn't have tried any harder. I mean, that's, you know, anyway, very, very interesting. You know, I don't know that I want, well, I mean, I don't care per se. I, you know, last season when it looked like Everton was probably going to go, you know, it was a good possibility they were going to go down, I was of the mindset that I was like, you know, I don't, you know, I don't want them to go down. You know, I think the Merseyside Derby, you like seeing that and et cetera, et cetera. But by the end of the season, I was completely happy if, well, not happy. It wouldn't have bothered me if they had ended up going down because they were just so miserable. And Anthony Gordon is a little rat. And if I ever see him, I'm going to give him a slap inside the head.
I love your disdain for Anthony Gordon. It's amazing.
He's like that kid that you were at school with that just, you know, needled you constantly, but in a mean way, you know, anyway. Having flashbacks to being bullied in school. Regardless. They didn't call it back then. It was being teased, but it was bullying. But we'll deal with my childhood issues later. But yeah, no, but I mean, Sean Dyche, I agree with what Cam said and what you were saying, Trev, that, you know, I do, I have an admiration for how, you know, what he managed to do there at Burnley for a long time on a, you know, shoestring budget was very admirable. You know, he got, you know, very little money to deal with and everything else, but spending hasn't been a problem at Everton in the last few years. That's not the reason that they're struggling. I mean, they've bought plenty of players. It's just they're, from what I can tell, there doesn't seem to be much of a plan in place. And the fact that, you know, they've turned over, what is it, 5 managers in 6 years or something like that. You know, I think that's more their problem is they don't have a plan. So, you know, maybe Sean Dyche can put some sort of a plan in place and, you know, and keep, I don't, you know, it may be too much to keep them up this year. I don't know. But I think Cam's right. If they go down, I don't know that they turn around and come right back up the next season. I don't know. I mean, I think it will depend on if there is some sort of proper build with the team, you know, as opposed to just, okay, who do we have available? Let's just throw them out on the field. You know, if they put some sort of long range plan and tactics in place, then, you know, that'll probably be better for them. But, you know, it kind of looks as though, you know, even before Lampard, you know, was let go, I mean, the players didn't want to be, it, you know, Anthony Gordon trying to get out, and it seems like there's one or two others that are, you know, pushing a little bit for a transfer, you know, this month. So, you know, I mean, I think they need somebody in there that can kind of unite the mindset before they can do anything.
Yeah, well, I think that was the hope for leader of men, Frank Lampard, but I guess that didn't really pan out. And there's an interesting point.
Because it went worse, I think.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah. There's an interesting point that you raised there that I might just spin it back to Cam because, you know, Lisa Marie's talked about Anthony Gordon, her second only to Harry Kane, favorite footballer.
I don't know. And, I think I might hate him worse than Harry Kane.
Yeah, I was just thinking you might have creeped up there, but I'm thinking, Cam, here about some of the headlines I've been seeing today about how Dyche will be given at least 3 new players, and that all sounds fantastic until you realise that he sold Anthony Gordon. Like I said, they're, you know, up and coming, big name local lad, all that. For 40 million to Newcastle. And in the Premier League, you would imagine that that represents some sort of value regardless. Maybe you don't rate Gordon. I've never really seen fully what the fuss was about. Lisa Marie's clearly not a fan either, but he has that received reputation for sure. And here's where I'm going with this, Cam. Are they a bit like us? Do they have to sell to buy? Is that why he's been let go so that Dyche has that 40 million to spend on a couple of cloggers to see can he get fellas that'll kick Everton into 17th possession and safety?
I don't know about whether they have to sell to buy because obviously, like I said, over the last few years, they definitely outspent us, but then again, most clubs have. So I'm not sure it's more of a question of sell to buy. I just think the lad, to be fair to him, has got ambition. And he doesn't see anything happening for himself at Everton. And if you can either stay at your boyhood club and be the hero of the club But if you, let's be realistic, they've won nothing since 1995. They're not going to win anything this season. Are they likely to win something next season under Daishi? Time will tell. I just generally think he just sees a better future for himself away from the club. I think it was obvious he wanted to go in the summer. He would have gone to Chelsea had Everton accepted the £60 million bid, but they didn't, because Everton realised that he is one of their better players and they felt they would be a better team with him in it. And that was worth more than the £60 million. Obviously, now that has not worked out well for him because of, I think it's entirely down to Frank Lampard why they're in the position they're in. He's just not a good enough manager, unfortunately. And they are where they are. And Gordon just says, I actually say fair play to the lad, for having the cojones to not want to stay at the club you've supported since a kid. He's achieved that. He's done that. And he's probably looked at Wayne Rooney and said, look, he didn't stay here long. And look what he achieved in his career. He's still loved by Everton fans as Wayne Rooney. He's not lost that status in any way, shape or form. And Gordon's probably thinking, I've got that ambition myself as well, and I'm going to try and fulfil that. That's a fair play to the kid.
To be fair, fair play is right in that regard. And everyone would want to, jump ship. If there was a better option available in a short footballing career, you'd be utterly daft not to. And that brings us to another young man who is very much more popular and hotly pursued than Anthony Gordon is, and that's Moises Caicedo. It's not Naby Keita, I'm sorry, and you're going to have to continue your Karl Kapak discussion with Karl Kapak. I'm not having that row in absentia. Where you and Guy and Carl passive aggressively sort of take lumps out of each other around the whole Henderson Keita thing. Good God.
No, Henderson wasn't mentioned though, was he?
Yeah, that's just because you forgot. Guy did mention it. So, I refuse to allow that to hijack our show here.
I'm just going back to look at the text now.
So as I was saying, we've got
Cam's having a conversation with himself, Trev. You and I, just go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I am trying to talk here, but, don't mind me. As I said, Cam, we've got another lad there. We've got Caicedo, who, like I say, is being very hotly pursued by a lot of clubs. We were supposed to be in the reckoning there. And I saw, we saw the really weird spectacle of Chelsea, who have basically fired 70,000 million euros at the wall in this transfer market, in this particular window, to get whoever they're getting. It's just endless signings. And then they lowballed for Caicedo, apparently. Now Arsenal are the latest to be linked with Caicedo, who, I just can't. The idea of him at Arsenal now and them consolidating from a position of strength is just, oh God, that should be us. This is where I'm folding it back into Liverpool. So I want to get a take from you and then from Lisa Marie to just bring it back to Liverpool-centric chat.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL roundtable there every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Just be honest about, you know, your, before we go and we'll have that, we'll talk about the joint statement from Man United and the Man United fan group, MUST, and Spirit of Shankly as well. And we'll just finish our chat with a little bit about that. But when you see a talent of the likes of Caicedo, who's clearly the type of lad that we desperately, desperately need, the profile of footballer who would enhance our team immediately and maybe make this season a viable thing. And we're not even in the shake-up. And the only time Liverpool are mentioned is it's gone too high for Liverpool now, basically. it's you know, in the wake of the you know, the, what do you call it, Money League revelations, it's just hard to stomach. It just... It doesn't make you a whingy, entitled fan to feel like incredibly frustrated, does it? Or maybe I'm wrong.
No, frustration's off the charts here. Because we just need bodies. And if he's available and he's somebody we've looked at in the past, I mean, right now we're struggling to get into top four. And it looks like Arsenal are going to have a... Well, I'm reading the Mirror from the Telegraph. It says Arsenal expect to improve Moyes' Caicedo bid after £60 million offer rejection. Because I think Brighton are holding up £70 million. And that's why Liverpool walks away from it. Because this guy 2 years ago, when they signed him for like £5
million. Yeah.
And can you imagine if we'd signed him 2 years ago, £5 million? There would have been outcry. Who are we signing? Who's this guy? £5 million. Nobody's heard of him. You know, it'd been all that malarkey and nonsense. Now they want us to spend £70 million on him because we're desperate for bodies and he's had a half decent start to the Premier League. I mean, he's only really started playing this season, hasn't he? Or was he playing last season? I genuinely don't know.
I think he did play some last season.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. He's this is his second decent campaign.
Right. Okay. So, you know, he's a decent player. We know that then. Yeah. And he has proved it. But the thing is, he's been allowed to develop at Brighton. If we'd signed him £5 million whenever he came in or any of the big clubs did, would he have developed into the player he is today? No. He's got game time and it's benefited him. It's catch 22, isn't it? We want us to sign the next Jude Bellingham for nothing, but then we're not going to let these players develop and we expect them to hit the ground running and be superstars. And then the club isn't going to spend £70 million on a player.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So
we had a phase where we were spending 35 million-ish, 40 million-ish for players that were up and coming.
Let me cut in here, Cam, because this is an important point and we're going to end up having two separate conversations.
Sure.
The fact is he costs what he fucking costs now.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he costs. His history... his bona fides as a player, the evolution, the, you know, if, you know, my auntie had bollocks, basically. That's where we're at with this.
Yeah.
He costs what he costs now. Yeah. And I suppose the point is, we were in a situation in the Klopp evolution where the team needed several big center of the team spinal changes. We get Ali, we get Verge, we get Fab within a sort of a 6 month period.
Yeah.
And the team is evolved. Now we pay big for those guys.
Yeah.
Big, big money. And
it worked.
Why? Yeah, yes, right?
Yes.
There is ample evidence that Caicedo would stroll into our team and make it immediately better.
100%.
Why is it that we don't have the clout to do that now? And do you get the feeling that it's just because there's massive uncertainty about what's going to happen next in terms of the ownership?
This is ultimately the question, isn't it? Why are they not doing it? What's stopping them from doing it? How much revenue are we going to lose, say, for not qualifying for Champions League? Is it going to be 20 million? Is it going to be 50 million? Could it potentially be 100 million? Whatever that figure is, if they offered 50 million and it was turned down and they want 70, so we think he's worth, the club think he's worth 50, don't they? If they previously, you know, were looking around the 50 million mark. Are you telling me that they're willing to take the risk of not qualifying for Champions League to save 20 million quid when they could possibly get Champions League for the sake of 20 million quid? And if that's what they're playing at, thinking, no, we'll be all right. Fuck me sideways. I've had enough of them. Because unfortunately now we keep going back to it. Champions League is now literally a trophy. Because it's that important.
Well, I'll pull you up on your use of literally there, but absolutely, I get what you mean. It's the old Arsene Wenger argument.
It is, and you see what happened to Arsenal all those years. I mean, but then you look at Arsenal for a couple of seasons; they didn't do anything. They let the club reset, and I'm digressing, but I think it's pertinent to what we're talking about here because this is what all the frustration is about right now. We're not going to get Champions League. That's everything. That's everything that our season hinges on. That we have to make sure we qualify for Champions League.
Yeah.
Because we want to be in a position to attract players, even though we never seem to sign the big players. But hey, it is what it is. Arsenal allowed the club to reset, and look what's happened. Are they thinking, well, maybe that's what we need to do? But Arsenal reset by still signing players, allowing those players to develop, and now they're still signing players in a position of strength. That's where we fucked up. We don't sign players from a position of strength.
Yeah, well, we certainly, exactly. We haven't, and that's that. Let me bring you in on this, Lisa Marie, because I don't, you know, it's important you get a say on this as well. The frustration is very real, and we have form for doing what Cam said. Was suggesting there that there might be a plan to just like wing it. Let's just see how we get on. We've done that before under this ownership. It's like, yeah, we could really do it a centre half, and Lovren played a lot of minutes and he's gone, and Chinny played a lot of minutes and he's gone. We'll wing it. And it hasn't worked out. It just hasn't worked out. I will go to my grave probably being sneered at by certain absolute, like, I don't know, are they super fan type lads? They're just incredible. Like, they're certainly super FSG fans who would laugh at me and say, we won two trophies. What do you want? Like, why can't you be happy? I'm like, well, okay, yeah. But I will go to my grave saying we should have another Champions League. We should have another league, at least under this Klopp era. And probably both of them last season. And I just felt like we were just a little bit off in terms of having that like Man City style squad depth on a couple of occasions over the last few years that cost us. We've lost things by the narrowest of margins. We've lost big, big finals under Klopp, several of them, several big, big finals. We've lost leagues by a point. Fucking ridiculous situation. It's ridiculous. And for all the reveling and can't you just be happy about how great we are? And of course we can. We're not idiots. We've enjoyed the process. I know you have. But there is that regret and frustration. And when you see something as glaringly obvious as a Caicedo available apparently in the market right now, a guy who could fix the hole that is in our midfield, and we're not even seriously in the conversation, it would appear, and journalists appear to be briefed that, oh, it's too rich for Liverpool's blood. You do feel like throwing things at the TV, don't you?
Yes. You know, but I offer this point. It may be that Brighton doesn't want to let him go. They may want to keep him through this season. I mean, they're flying, and he's part of the reason they're doing, you know, as well as they are. So they very well may be thinking, let's see how we can, you know, what can we do this season? Sell him and let him go at the summer. So, you know, I just offer that as, I don't know, devil's advocate consideration that, you know, I mean, if someone turned around and offered us or Arsenal or Chelsea or whomever and offered 100,000, yes, maybe. But But it could very well be that it's going to have to be a ridiculous amount of money before Brighton will let him go. So, but back to the question you actually asked me. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's frustrating. And we've talked about it, you know, many, many times. And it is. It's frustrating that, you know, and yes, it is seemingly that Klopp hasn't been given the money to spend. But I personally think it's a combination of he has been because he wants and holds out for specific players. And maybe he hasn't been given the money to purchase those players. So I think it's a combination of things that, you know, they're in for specific players. And if we can't get this guy, then we'll just make do with what we have. So I think there's a little bit of all of that that's contributed to it. But it is frustrating because why can't they give us, you know, give Klopp more money?
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
When we have achieved the things that we have, you know, Champions League and the league and, you know, and all the things, then, you know, it's obvious that when the proper investment is made in the team, it rises to that success. So you need to keep investing to keep the success going. And it is, it's a shame. It's an absolute shame that for whatever reason, the last couple of years, that investment hasn't been there.
And instead, we have poor old Arthur Melo coming in, and he's had a
bless
hair,
his
God
heart.
Love him. Bless his heart. Like, I you can't but feel for this kid. But we're being linked to a Sheffield United player, Sander Berg.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I mean, great. I'm sure, I know for a fact he's a good footballer. But really, is that the end of the dance floor that we're sort of hanging around at now? Is that it? Because, I think I'm a rational enough kind of person. I'm certainly not a Twitter screecher, but good God, that's going to drive people insane. If that's, you know, there'll be people who are saying he's the greatest thing ever and people say, like, again, entitled, what do you want? You're fucking dead right I'm entitled. I'm a Liverpool fan. Like, fucking hell, it's the definition of entitlement. We have titles. We have endless titles.
We have titles. We are entitled.
I'm quite literally entitled as a Liverpool fan. Count the medals, lads. Get them out on the table, etc., etc. So, like, I mean, you're fucking right. I kind of raise my eyebrow archly when we're being fed lines through the usual suspects that, oh, sorry, we can't afford Caicedo. But, like, Sander Berg's available. Would you... So that kind of thing drives me a bit insane. Let me wrap us up on Footy Chat with a quick read of this. Most people will have seen it from a joint statement from the MUST and SOS chairman Duncan Drasdo and Joe Blatt, respectively, to the Man United supporters group and Liverpool supporters group and unions available for supporters to join from wherever you happen to be. They say the following: by common consent, our clubs are the biggest in English football, and with a combined worldwide fan base of over 200 million people, they're widely recognised global institutions. In fact, perhaps two of the most well-known British institutions worldwide. That global profile will likely attract many potential bidders, including some whose primary motivations may not respect either the cultural heritage of our clubs or the values and interests of supporters. We think that should be a matter of importance to the government, just as government will not allow our most important cultural or heritage assets to fall into unfit or improper hands. It should not allow football clubs, our football clubs, to do so either. It continues just a paragraph or two more. We welcome the plans for an independent regulator tasked with developing stronger rules around football club ownership, but there is a danger it will come too late for the country's two biggest and most successful clubs. Manchester United and Liverpool fans are the most fierce rivals. If we can come together with common cause, then we believe the government can work out a way to ensure its intended IREF, that's the new regulatory board, and stronger ownership rules can be introduced quickly enough to safeguard the future of our two clubs. Now, let me put this in context. That has caused tremendous controversy, even though Cam's reaction when he read it said, well, I don't see any problem with that. Some people have just made assumptions about the fact that, well, that is a direct statement against the rumours about Qatar, and therefore it has, as I said to you earlier on, a whiff of bigotry or racism about it. That's one of the accusations to be made. It's very hard to read that into it, I think. And there is a statement there in the middle of it that I found really interesting. And it comes back to a topic, Cam, that you brought up last week, because it talked about how we could have bidders for the club, they say here, including some whose primary motivations may not respect either the cultural heritage of our clubs or the values and interests of supporters. Right now, so we take someone like SOS who were involved in campaigning against the 77 euro ticket?
£77
ticket.
Yeah.
There was the whole trying to trademark Liverpool debacle. Yeah. There was, at least remind me, there's one other big glaring thing as well. The FSG got totally, oh yeah, of course, the European Super League crack. Now, on each occasion, FSG did seem to bow to and ultimately show some respect and acknowledgement of fan opinion. Yeah. And obviously that organization would have been involved, the official supporters club would have been involved in articulating that frustration and therefore eliciting that reaction from our current donors. And, you know, we've had this conversation before. You raise your eyebrow, you go, Christ, really? And then the fact that they did roll back, you go, okay. And so you end up in this sort of neutral zone with them again. But it does show you that FSG would have fallen into that not respecting the cultural heritage or interests of supporters right there. The concept of them thinking you could trademark Liverpool, for example, it's just bananas. Like, what the fuck kind of detachment do you have to have? So they have been guilty of that, right? Our current ownership have been guilty of that. The point is they have rolled back on it. So you can see what this statement is saying, and you absolutely know what they're implying and who they're speaking about. It's naive to say that they're not that's not a statement that's referring specifically to particular types of owners who've been heavily linked or potential owners who've been heavily linked. So it's an interesting one, Cam. I find in the words themselves, it's very hard to find anything. You know, it's just when you start reading between the lines, and my God, people have been doing that, you know.
That's what you do. If you don't read between the lines, you're not reading it, are you? So I respect SOS. I think, you know, it's like you said, anybody can join them. It's not a closed organisation. It's not a closed club. They were formed out of need because of the previous ownership and how they were taking our club to administration. So I've got nothing but respect and admiration for for what they do for the club. And I don't ultimately see, like I said, an issue with this statement. If you then start trying to read between the lines, then you can create any narrative you want with wording. You know, that's what human nature does. And yes, you can say it's, pointing at certain Middle Eastern countries, but then you could also say maybe it's, like I said last week, it's pointing at the Chinese Sovereign Wealth Fund, maybe. Or if say the American government was to, you know, I'm not picking on anyone, any nation or anything. I'm just making generalized statements here. I could repeat myself from last week. We could go on and go, you could go for every country and you, because ultimately it's about sovereign wealth funds. It's not about individuals from a country. That's what we have to be clear about, don't we here? Would that be right, Trev?
I think really what you're talking about, especially if you're, the opposition to the Qatari thing is very simple and straightforward for an awful lot of people. It's like, sorry, but the attitudes to certain groups of people in society that are on display there, not just attitudes, the actual acts of violence and hatred.
Let's be clear on that, Trev. Sorry, I know where you're going with that, and I'm sure our listeners do as well, because obviously. You've been very, very careful with your words there. It's what they practice and what they believe in their country. Nobody is in a position to tell. We can't tell a country how to run their country as a football fan base. But we can object to is, rightly so, whether we don't want a country who has those practices running our football club.
Exactly. So that's the point.
Yeah.
People don't want an affiliation with somebody who are with a group who appear to have values that are abhorrent to them.
Yeah.
So and that's it's a deal breaker, Cam.
What we've got to be clear then is, say it's somebody from one of those countries, whether it be Chinese, from Thailand, from America, from Brazil, whether it's a multi-billionaire who then comes in and takes over the club. As an individual, you can't knock him as an individual for what his country does, can you? That's where we've got to be careful. That's where you have to draw a distinction and a line, I feel, because then it becomes racial, it becomes bigotry, it becomes xenophobic. And you don't want to go that down. You know, I wouldn't want the Israeli government running our football club. But I wouldn't object to somebody from Israel who was then had the best interest of Liverpool Football Club running our club. I want to make that distinction really, really clear. And I think that's really important as well in what this statement is saying, is in that the fit and proper ownership test needs to be a fit and proper ownership test. And that's where we've got to be careful, because then ultimately if you're going to say, what happens if the next Lionel Messi is from one of those countries? Are you going to say, oh no, we can't have him because of what his country does? Where do you draw the line then?
Well, look, the only thing I'll say to you is, you know, there's a lot of fuckers walking around in glass houses firing rocks left, right, and center. I've 100%. Heard abhorrent things being said. I was at
then they know better.
No, but I was at a stand-up gig last night. And in that gig, there was a comedian who was like openly making jokes about how, like, you know, easily, just openly making jokes about killing Russians, right? I mean, this is kind of going to what you're saying, right? Because it's acceptable now, because, you know, media presentation of the horrible, evil cartoon villain that is Putin, and therefore all Russians, you can make jokes about, and horrible jokes about killing people. This is the type of thing. This is where nuance gets lost. This is where intelligence goes to die. in conversations like this. And it's very important that people have some shred of that when they start opening their mouth and talking shit. Yeah. And it's really important that if they're going to turn on their fellow fans and make accusations about them, that everybody's very clear about what they're saying. And I think that's the takeaway here. And just to let you finish on this, Lisa Marie, it's beyond divisive. And it was so apparent to me, having been away for a couple of days from social media in general, coming back to it, how just, you know, it's an overused word, but like how really toxic the whole conversation has become, how entrenched people are. They seem to have aligned in the way they do with everything these days, with some particular take on things, and that's simply the only truth. And like, if there's ever like a sort of preachy tone coming out of me, it's only just to say, hey, listen, can we just maybe have a chat, as opposed to screeching at each other. I mean, you must, having been, you know, a regular checker in or over the last couple of days, have seen this. It's pretty difficult to navigate, even when you follow solid people, because they retweet this shit onto your timeline. It's hard to avoid it.
It is. And you know, it goes back to something I've said before. So when I saw the statement when it first came out, and like Cam, I read it and I was like, okay. Didn't really see anything objectionable in there. But then when I started seeing people coming after, you know, SOS on Twitter, I'm like, wait a minute. So, I mean, I then kind of went back to understand, I mean, to make sure I didn't misunderstand what the Spirit of Shankly organization was. I mean, yeah, I thought I had an understanding, and it turns out I did. But just because people were, you know, slinging arrows left, right, and center, I was like, well, wait a minute, maybe I have a misconception here of what this organization does. But my point is, you know, instead of knee-jerk reacting, first of all, maybe go back and read the statement again, because maybe the first time you read it, you misunderstood. I mean, it takes very little, you know, leave out a word, overlook a word, to throw the context of something completely off. So, you know, that's my first advice is, you know, take a step and maybe reread and make sure that you didn't misunderstand the first time you read something. And then, you know, just, you know, I mean, I feel like I say the same thing on here all the time, but good God, calm down. It's, yeah, I just don't understand. And we've talked about it. We've talked about it again and again, that it's so easy on social media to sling these insults and get all toxic because you're behind a keyboard, so to speak. In you know, to be anonymous, it's very easy. I mean, and I've said my, you know, my take on it all is I'm never going to say anything on social media that I wouldn't say, you know, to somebody's face. You know, if Trev, you treat something that I think is absolutely wrong, I'm going to say, hey, that's wrong. And if you and I were sitting in, you know, across from each other at a pub having a conversation, I'd say the same thing. I'm not going to say something on social media that I wouldn't say to someone in person. And I just wish more people took that line of common sense and see, there you go, common sense. Whatever. What am I thinking? What am I saying? Oh, I need a vacation. Oh, wait, I've got one coming up. So yeah, it's just, I find myself just scrolling through it and disconnecting from it because it's just so toxic. It really is. It really is. But unfortunately, it's also very, very representative of society as a whole right now. And, you know, and I hate that.
Yeah, I think that thing you're talking about, you know, not typing something that you wouldn't say to someone's face. I think the best analogy I can think of is, and I'm guilty of this myself, I'll admit, is things you say in your car to people who cut across you, who fail to understand what a yellow box is for on the road, the fucking bastards, those kind of people. you say stuff that is outrageous that you absolutely wouldn't say to their face. not out of fear or whatever, but just because it's completely over the top. Like, I will hold up my hands and say that I can, car rage stuff is ridiculous. Some of the things I find myself saying is like, steady on, Trev. But I think it's a good analogy to what you're saying as well. Like, I mean, you're not in a car, lads. They seem to think they're in their car. They're not in their fucking car.
People see what you're typing. Yeah.
Yes, that's it. They can see what you're typing.
They can see what you put it out there. You're not typing in invisible ink. It's out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I hate to break it to you, but it's always out there. Even if you delete it, if someone really wants to come back and find it, they can.
Yeah, and you gotta live with your extremist point of view. So I mean, just maybe, I think they sort of nailed it there. Just calm down a little bit. We actually have gone an hour after saying that we'd do a short show, and Lisa Shocking. Marie getting us on track after 20 minutes of chit chat. So I think we should start wrapping it up. I was gonna talk about bread because bread's good to talk about.
Bread's a good thing,
but we'll save that for the next. We'll save that for the next one, and it'll be after you've returned, Lisa Marie, when we're all together again for a podcast. It'll be after you've returned.
Well, you know, I mean, I can possibly podcast on the exact same time as you all do. Ooh. We'll see what's going on at that point in my trip, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
well, maybe you two in a pub together would be funny.
Oh, that would be funny.
Well, that would be, but I couldn't guarantee podcast. Yeah, how long is that going to last, though, as a show, realistically speaking?
Yeah, but that's my doctorly advice, remember?
Yes, it was your doctorly advice. It was. Dr. Kaminda recommended endless pints of Guinness because iron. ladies and gentlemen, that was his profound medical opinion. I've signed up. It's better than all the quacks I've seen so far. I will wrap it up with that because we should do. I'm not giving you an opportunity to finish off on any big rambling thing, but I do want you both to have a word before we go. I'll just start by saying that I appreciate Jim Bourneman stepping in for me this week with Jan on Mulvey on the Spot. Fair play to Jim. He's the top man and did it at very short notice. That is much appreciated. Go out and listen to Jim and Jan's chat on the latest Mulvey on the Spot. Before that, I think I did like 79 podcasts in 3 days. So there's lots of stuff out there at the moment. And this is the first of many more to come. So do keep your ears peeled if you're not yet in any knowledge of what we do in Anfield Index Pro. Sign up for the free trial and give it a go. You're not going to let it go afterwards. There's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things there. And I personally listen to podcasts on Anfield Index only at this stage because I honestly, without any bias, consider them to be the best. So that's just my little finish up. Lisa Marie, final word for yourself.
I did the press conference podcast with Dave Davis earlier today ahead of the Brighton match on Sunday. So, and it is up on Anfield Index. So give us a listen. We had some fun talking about how, you know, no matter what we do on Sunday, it should be better than the last time we played Brighton. So, here's hoping. And yes, and 4 days from now, I will be on a plane headed to Ireland for anybody who's been keeping up or trying to keep up with the countdown. So,
where are you landing, yeah. Lisa Marie?
Dublin. Dublin. Okay. We're flying in and out of Dublin.
Okay. Good.
Yes. We have to go through Boston on the way there and through JFK, which is New York, on the way home.
Interesting.
But, so not direct flight, but yeah. Yes. So yeah, well, so looking forward to it.
That will be a source of excellent. And it'll be a source of many, many stories, no doubt, for us. and we are hoping that we can get the stars to align and my ridiculous life at the moment will free me up to meet yourself and his good self as well. Looking forward to that possibility, at least. Just to let you know that Carl Kopak, who can't do Friday nights because he is a professional footballer, apparently, with his team, Yellow Chub. Oh, sorry, he was playing Yellow Chub Marine. And apparently they won 4-0 and he was fucking Barese, and I quote, in that win. Fair play to him. Cam, last word from yourself, man.
Looking forward to the video blogs from Lisa Marie when she goes to Ireland. And I think they're going to be wonderful to viewing for all of us. Can't wait. I've been watching The Last of Us.
I've heard it's great. And
For some reason, I've only got two episodes done.
I think isn't that all that's out? Aren't they releasing one a week?
Is that what it is? They are releasing one a week.
Yeah, I think they're just releasing. So I think it's brand new.
I was hoping it'd all be available on our Sky Plus here. I may check another source just in case. You never know, do you? So, but that is really, really interesting. Really interesting. So, well worth a watch. So, that's my TV rec. I'll just say, as I have for a long time now, you know, keep the faith, Red fans. We're going to get top four and we're going to win the FA Cup.
Love it. Absolutely love that endless positivity from you on that. You genuinely seem to believe it, which makes me equally positive for reasons I can't explain. You are clearly a guru, Commander. We will wrap it up there. Thanks to Lisa Marie. Thanks to Cam. I've been Trev, and we'll see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.